It was just another wedding. The church was slowly filling. People were milling about, wearing whatever attire they deemed appropriate for the occasion. Some I greeted with a hug, some I greeted with a handshake, and still others with a smile and a nod. Many words I heard that night, many words I shared. But even though I was surrounded by friends, there was one man I was determined to greet. I had spoken to him a few times before, back when I was but a lowly preschool doorman, and he was but a tired father waiting for his children. In those days, he was always open to conversation, always open to sharing his opinion, always open to the occasional uncouth joke that he was worried that he was going to burst into flames if he got any closer to the building. You see, even though I had met this man at church, church was the one place he avoided religiously. Like so many atheists, he had a similar story. He had been hurt by the church, hurt by Christians, and was determined to never be hurt again. Our conversation began with the usual pleasantries, but it didn't take long before the how you've been's and how you doin's and the how's the family to peter out, leaving a church-sized hole in the conversation just waiting to be filled. And my friend didn't disappoint. In no uncertain terms, he told me that he was offended by what he heard in the wedding service, that the only reason he was in the building was because he was close to the groom's family, and he thought that Christianity was the height of arrogance because it claimed to be the only way to heaven and that every other religion was wrong. When he finished speaking, I began explaining. I explained the service, I explained the text, I explained the intricacies and the beauty and the exclusivity of Christianity, but the more and more I talked, the more I realized what I was doing. I was apologizing. I was acting as if the word that was spoken during the service was shameful, crude and ill-refined, something that needed to be explained away and excused. And if only he understood it properly, then he would get church. Even though he listened attentively until he was pulled away from my table and lost in the wedding shuffle, I was nevertheless left alone at the table feeling ashamed and dejected. I realized that after all of my avoiding and assuring and apologizing, that I hadn't done any real evangelizing. I hadn't even mentioned the gospel at all. I wish I could say that was years ago, but that was last weekend. So what do you think about my performance? How did you react to my riveting tale? Did you cringe? Or could you relate? Have you ever found yourself apologizing for your Christianity? Acting as if your identity as a worshiper of Jesus was something indecent? Something that needed to be hidden behind closed doors and was only allowed to be seen by those in the inner circle in certain situations and certain circumstances? Why do you think we do that? Why do we apologize for our Christianity? After all, we don't treat our sports teams like that. No, we'll wear the gear, greet kickoff with a cheer, and at the mention of other teams, we'll sneer. And if someone insults our team, well, then all bets are off. We'll back our boys to the end. And whether you bleed blue and orange, green or gold, purple or yellow, or any other color combination, you still bleed it. That's still the level of committed you choose to be. But sports are sports. It's not everyone's thing. You You ever think about the fact that we don't even apologize for our politics? You've probably heard the phrase, there's two things you don't bring up in casual conversation, religion and politics. But the latter's not even really true, is it? Especially nowadays, politics are everywhere. They're on the billboards, they're online, they're on the news, and most importantly, they're in our conversations. And when we pick our sides, we really pick our sides. We will rant and we'll rave if someone disagrees with us. We'll fight tooth and nail for what we know to be right, what we know to be the best for our country, whether we are Republican or Democrat or independent or somewhere in between. We have no problem choosing this candidate or that, this team or that. So why do you think it is that we have such a problem saying, I belong to Christ, and that's that? Well, maybe it's because we can see the furnace. Maybe it's because we can feel the heat from here. Maybe it's because we don't even want to begin to imagine what it's like being in that inferno. Yeah, we might get jabbed for our sports support or poked for our political preference, but maybe it's the potential backlash of being a believer, the cost of the cross that keeps us from taking our stand. Maybe the consequences of confessing Christ are just not worth it, just too much. Or maybe that's what Satan wants you to think. The fact that it is simple to support a sports team or a political candidate and difficult to take your stand for Jesus shouldn't be a surprise. After all, why does Satan care what sport you support or what political candidate you vote for? If anything, your favorite team and your favorite candidate, well, those are Satan's favorites too. He's rooting for your team every time, and he's voting for your candidate every time. Because he knows humanity. He knows that we can only have our undivided attention on one thing at one time. So he will encourage anything in our lives if that means even shifting us a little bit off of our firm foundation. Because we only have 2 feet to stand. So if he moves one, that's a win. Is unlike your favorite sports team and unlike your favorite politician, he does have a reason to attack your faith. And he does attack your faith. And there's no telling, is there, what might happen should you take your stand. There's no telling what will happen if you don't run away, take it all back, say this Christianity thing, well, yeah, it's not really that big of a deal, and I'd much rather be standing with those tending the fire than those burning in it. I won't lie to you, there's a lot that could happen. You might be uncomfortable. You might be ignored. You might be mocked. You might be ostracized. You might be tortured. You might be killed. And that list isn't just a list of possibilities. No, that list comprises real flames facing real Christians in this real world at this very moment. No wonder we apologize. No wonder we deflect. While it's true we don't know a lot that could happen if we take our stand, we do know one thing that will happen should we stand. We won't stand alone. There is one who stands with us, who walks around in this blazing furnace that Satan fuels to burn away our faith. This one looks like a son of the gods. No, more than that, who looks like the Son of God. No, more than that, who is the Son of God. And make no mistake, this Son of God is not unfamiliar with the flames. Uncomfortable? Ignored? Mocked? Ostracized? Tortured? Killed? Sound familiar? This is the Son of God who faced Satan's smoldering schemes and the fire of God's fierce wrath, and he stood there alone. He stood there alone, engulfed in the inferno of the pressure of living a perfect life and the punishment of sin's price. And all the while, he never once apologized for his Father's words. He never once avoided the cost of the cross. He never once fled the flames that he knew would endure excruciating pain. No, there he stood for us. This is the Son of God who stood alone in his flames so that he might stand with us in ours. Dear friends, Jesus knows. Jesus knows the risks you take when you take your stand for him. He knows the cost of the cross, and yet he calls out to you to stand. To stand, but never alone. Because he is right there. He is standing with you when you are full of confidence and when you are full of cowardice. He is standing right with you when people receive your Christianity happily, indifferently, or even angrily. He is standing with you when you are full of joy, full of sorrow, full of regret or grief or pain or anxiety. He stands with you in the flames and forgives. Forgives you for every time you didn't stand up for him. Forgives you for every time that you stood with those tending the fire rather than those burning in it. Forgives you for every time you apologized to the world because of him. So Christians, don't apologize. Apologize. Confused? Let me explain. What you might not be aware of is that in English, the word apologize has two meanings. One is common, and one is rather obscure. The common use of the word apologize is to say you're sorry. The obscure use of the word apologize means to take your stand on something you believe in. So as we leave this place of refuge on this Reformation Day and head back out into the blazing furnace and the flames, don't apologize. Apologize. When the decision comes to take your stand or to flee, I encourage you to consider what you are apologizing for. First and foremost, you are apologizing for the very Word of God. The good news that brings salvation to everyone who believes, the only hope of heaven itself. Second, when you apologize, you are apologizing to a world that is on its way to hell. When you take your stand, you don't just stand for yourself or stand for God. No, you stand for the world. Because you carry with you something that this dying and decaying world of death can't touch. The gospel. The light amid the darkness, the joy amid the sorrow, the peace amid the pain, the life amid the death. When you take your stand, God works through you to help others to their feet, to help them endure the flames, to keep their souls on the firm foundation of faith, Jesus Christ. Finally, when you apologize, you don't apologize alone. I hope as you stand in this blazing furnace and you see the flames flickering around you and hear the roar of the raging fire, that you don't miss the fact that you are not alone in this furnace with Jesus. No, all around you, with clothes unburned and hairs unsinged, stand the prophets and the apostles and the evangelists and the church fathers and the reformers, and most importantly, your fellow members of faith. We're right here, standing with you. We're facing the same flames with you. We have the same confession on our mouths, that even if we are thrown into the worst of blazing furnaces, the God that we serve is not only able to deliver us, but that he already has delivered us. Yes, in this life, the flames may burn. The heat may scorch. This blazing furnace might be anything but comfortable. But don't apologize. Apologize. Take your stand on the firm foundation that will last forever. The foundation that will not crumble even if the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, even if there are wars and rumors of wars, even if the sky falls and the earth is consumed in fire, even then you will stand. With faith alone, in God's grace alone, that is found in Scripture alone, that points us to Christ alone. May our feet never leave that firm foundation until the day we leap for joy, when this blazing furnace will be extinguished and our faith in the Son of God who stands with us in the flames becomes sight. God hasten that day. Amen.